Now we begin the text. قال المؤلف رحمه الله. The author رحمه الله said, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. And we have explained the meaning of this basmala several times. But we can briefly go over its meaning. Bismillah, in the name of Allah, denotes seeking blessings from Allah by preceding the name of Allah, the Most High. Bismillah. And Allah is the name, the title of the Lord of the worlds. And none is given this name other than Him. And the title Allah is the basis of all other names. And all other names follow on from it. Ar-Rahman means the possessor of extensive mercy. And in the grammar, Ar-Rahman takes the measure fa'lan. Fa'lan meaning Rahman, the same measure. And this denotes vastness. Ar-Rahim. And this refers to the deliverance of mercy to whomsoever Allah wills from His slaves. And in the grammar, it has the measure fa'il, i.e. Rahim. And this denotes the application of an action. And so mercy is His attribute, is Allah's attribute. And that's what Ar-Rahman denotes. And mercy is His action, which means delivering mercy to the recipient. And that is what Ar-Rahim denotes. Together, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim are names of Allah, proving His essence and the attribute of mercy and the ruling that this attribute necessitates. The author then said, rahimahullah, he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi lam yazal aliman qadira. All praise is due to Allah, who was and continues to be all knowing, all able. Alhamd. What is the meaning of Alhamd? It means describing the praised with perfection in essence and in attributes. If this description is repeated, then it refers to mean thana, commendation. And the evidence for this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the al-hadith al-Qudsi, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related from his Lord, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نُصْفَيْنِ. I have divided the salah between myself and my slave into two halves. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So if my slave says, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. قَالَ اللَّهُ حَمَدَنِي عَبْدِي. And Allah says, my Lord, my slave praised me. And if he, my slave, says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most beneficent, the most merciful, then Allah says, Athna alayya abdi. Now the description is being now repeated. And my slave hauded me. So from this we come to know that whoever explained or interpreted the meaning of Alhamd to mean the good commendation then this is a deficient interpretation, and that the correct interpretation in defining Alhamd is وصف المحمود بالكمال الذاتي والمعنوي, is describing the praised with the perfect, with perfection in essence and in attributes. Except that Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah added a particularization to this definition when he said mahabbatan wa ta'zima, meaning magnifying, meaning describing the praised one with perfection out of love and magnification, out of love. Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah added that the meaning is describing the praised with perfection in essence and attributes, mahabbatan wa ta'zima, mahabbatan out of love and magnification, meaning the inciting thing would be love and magnification. Because of loving Allah and magnifying Him, then He describes Him with all perfection. Why? Because this is to distinguish this from another type of incitement, and that is the incitement of showing off and the like, or fear. Like for those who praise the kings or the people and high status, one says that this is commendation. No one can say that this is hamd, praising. Now, what about the article in Alhamd? Alhamd. Alhamdulillah. Al, the definite article. This is known in Arabic as, this Al is for istighraq, so the meaning will be that it is used to encompass all kinds of praise. It's used to encompass all kinds of praise. Alhamdulillah. Al-ilah, meaning the worshipped. So everything or anything worshipped, then he is ilah. Then, if it is worthy of worship, truly deserving the worship, then the ilah is the true ilah, deserving divinity. Otherwise, it will be false divinity. In Allah Azza wa Jal, the most mighty, the most magnificent, is a title for the creator, the originator, the one free of all imperfection, the most high, and he is ilahun mustahiqqun lil uluhiyya. He is an ilah who deserves to be singled alone as the true God worthy of worship and praise. Alhamdulillah, the author said, alladhi lam yazal aliman أو عالما لم يزل, continues, was and continues. The linguistics and people of grammar refer to this لم يزل as verbs of continuity, verbs of continuity, meaning they denote the continuity of something. So, continues from the past and the current and the future, all knowing, encompassing everything. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Talaq, chapter 65, verse 12, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا It is Allah who has created seven heavens and of the earth, the like thereof. His commands descends between them, the heavens and the earth, that you may know that Allah has power over all things and that Allah surrounds and comprehends all things in His knowledge. And that you may know that Allah has power over all things and that Allah surrounds and comprehends everything in His knowledge. Nothing escapes Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the heavens or on earth. In addition, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not preceded by ignorance. Meaning it doesn't mean that he was ignorant and then he became knowledgeable. So the ilm, the knowledge of Allah, is not preceded by ignorance, nor it is succeeded by forgetfulness. That he knows and then he forgets. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So it is not preceded by ignorance, nor it is succeeded by forgetfulness. The knowledge of other than Allah is defective from all of these three angles in terms of comprehensibility and also in terms of ignorance. Man was ignorant. Also with respect to forgetfulness, man forgets. So the knowledge of Allah is unlimited, unrestricted. But man, no matter how he reaches in knowledge, then his knowledge is limited. And also it's preceded by ignorance. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 78. والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة لعلكم تشكرون. And Allah has brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you know nothing. And He gave you hearing, sight, and hearts that you might have or might give thanks. In addition, it is succeeded by forgetfulness. How often do we forget? We know that. But with respect to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is comprehensive. قال الله تعالى in Surah Taha 20:52, قال علمها في كتاب لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى. Musa said, the knowledge thereof is with my Lord in a record. My Lord is neither unaware nor he forgets. So he is neither unaware, not ignorant as to what passed. And neither he forgets as to the future. And with all of that, he is described and qualified with al-qudra, the perfect ability. And that's why the author, rahimahullah, in the beginning, discussing his words, he said, Alhamdulillah, الذي لم يزل عليما قديرا. All praise is due to Allah, the one who lam yazal, was, is, and continues to be all knowledgeable, all able. The qudra, ability, is a description by which the able can do the action, and it is different from strength or power. The strength is a description whereby the strong one is able to do without weakness, while with respect to the able, he is able to do without any incapacity. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contrasted them, incapacity with ability, strength with weakness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, verse 54, الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة. Allah is He who created you in a state of weakness, then gave you strength after weakness. He didn't say ability. He didn't say gave you ability. But in the other verse, in Surah Fatir, verse 44, chapter 35, verse 44, قال الله تعالى وما كان الله ليعجزه من شيء في السماوات ولا في الأرض إنه كان عليما قديرا. Allah is not such that anything in the heavens or in the earth escapes him. Verily he is all knowing, all omnipotent, all able. He didn't say all strong. Which of them is more particular? Ability or strength? Each one is more particular from the other in one aspect. For example, strength. Overall, it exists with the one with ability, with feeling. And ability, overall, we'll repeat. Strength could be overall in one with a will and one without a will. While ability overall is with the one who has the will. In addition, the ability exists with weakness and with strength. While strength can only be with strength. It cannot exist with weakness. For example, it is permitted for us to say, هذا الحديد قوي. This iron is strong. And it's permissible for us to say, هذا الإنسان قوي. This man is strong. So therefore, the strength is in the one with will and with the one without will. However, the ability overall, it is only in that which has a will, not in the inanimate overall. Secondly, the ability indicates the doing of an action without weakness. Strength, rather. The strength indicates the doing of an action without weakness, in contrast with the ability. And that's why, if a person is told to lift this rock, and he came to lift it, and he was unable to lift it from the ground, we say that this person is unable. And another one lifted it, but with difficulty. And his face turned red, yellow, and so forth. We say that he is able, but he is not strong. And we tell another person, we tell him, lift it. And he lifted it like a feather. We say that this person is able and strong. You see the differences between the ability and strength now? Now to the next statement of the author, rahimahullah. Then the author, rahimahullah, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this phrase, he said, وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَهُ إِلَى النَّاسِ كَافَّةً بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ صَلَّ اللَّهُ. This is an informative statement. Informative in text, but it is a statement of initiation in meaning. What does it mean? It means that you ask Allah to have His Salah upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what does it mean when we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad? O Allah, have your salah upon Muhammad. The meaning is that you ask Allah, the Most Mighty, the Most Magnificent, to make salah upon him. What is the meaning of salah upon him? It means praising him in the highest companion. Meaning before the angels close to Allah. Before the angels close to Allah. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal praises his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this companion of the angels. This is the meaning. This is therefore an invocation, a request. Invoking Allah, calling him to have this salah, this mentioning and praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the most high companionship before the angels. So this is a statement of dua, invocation. And from this is when you say, such and such, rahimahullah. Such and such, you name a person and you say, for example, he died, you say, rahimahullah. This statement is an informative statement. But when someone says it, rahimahullah, we don't say to him, you made a mistake. How do you know that Allah will have mercy on him? Why? Because he will respond to you. He will tell you, I invoke Allah to have mercy upon him. So therefore, this takes the form of dua. When you mention somebody who died and you mention his name, you say, rahimahullah. This is a form of dua. Meaning, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him or have mercy upon him. This is the meaning of sallallahu. Then the author said, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. May Allah salah be upon our sayyidina Muhammad, alladhi arsalahu. You see here, there is a defect in the statement. Because the author, rahimahullah, said, O Allah, have salah upon Sayyidina Muhammad, alladhi arsalahu. You know, whom he sent. You know, if it were not for this statement, whom he sent, then this would have been a great defect. Because the mere saying Sayyidina, our leader, does not indicate that he is a messenger. Because the Sayyid is the noble leader. And this also does not indicate the nobility of the messenger, of the message. But the author, rahimahullah, said, الَّذِي أَرْسَلَهُ, whom he sent. And it would have been better from that to say, وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا أَوْ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. Sufficient to have said, may Allah's salah be upon our Prophet or his slave, or the like. We don't say, however, that his statement is denounceable. That is because he mentioned الَّذِي أَرْسَلَهُ. He said, the one whom he sent. And we say that إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ is our leader and the leader of all the children of Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he is أَشْرَفُ نَبِي أو أَشْرَفُ بَنِي آدَم, the most honorable of the children of Adam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the closer the statement to that which came in the text, then it would be the better in terms of correctly describing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his real status with Allah. Now if someone asks the question, how could it be that we say ala sayyidina, upon our leader sayyidina, but we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said to those people who said to him, Anta Sayyiduna wabnu Sayyidina, you are our Sayyid and the son of our Sayyid, our leader. He told them, say what you say or part of what you say, وَلَا يَسْتَهْوِيَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ, but don't let the shaitan incline you to your desires. We say this does not oppose the statement mentioned. That is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted them to say that. But however, he cautioned them that don't let the shaitan incline you to your desires, lest you take by these statements excessiveness above the excess, above the rank which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or made it fit for him. So therefore the direction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is fearing for them, lest they incline to the desires of the shaitan and say, Abdullah wa Rasul, the slave of Allah is his messenger. And this is better. This is a better description describing the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Then the author said, Ala Sayyidina, upon our leader Muhammad. Muhammad. This is his name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His title. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his name in the Quran in 4 places in the Quran. The first place is in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 144. قال الله تعالى وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, you see, this is his name, is no more than a messenger, and indeed many messengers have passed away before him. Also in Surah Al-Ahzab, the second place is in Surah Al-Ahzab, 33 verse 40, ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم, ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any man among you, but he is a messenger of Allah and the final and last end of the prophets. The third place is in Surah Muhammad, verse 2. Surah Muhammad, verse 2. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. In Surah Muhammad, 47. But those who believe and do righteous good deeds and believe in that which is sent down, وآمنوا بما نزل على محمد وهو الحق من ربهم, and believe in that which is sent down to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, for it is the truth from his Lord. And the final one is in Surah, and the fourth one is in Surah Al-Fath, 48 verse 29, محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار الآية. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are severe against the disbelievers and merciful amongst themselves. This name has a great meaning. In it comprises the qualities and merits such that he is fit for being the best to be praised. Now, if you say there is a name in the Quran other than the name of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you say that this name is Ahmad, and this came in the glad tidings which Isa عليه السلام brought to the children of Israel, when he told them, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ, in Surah Al-Saff, verse 6, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. And remember when Isa, Jesus son of Mary, said, O children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah unto you, confirming the Torah which came before me and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me whose name shall be Ahmad. why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala question? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the name Ahmad instead of Muhammad in the glad tidings of Isa to his people? This is in order to make clear that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most amongst mankind in praising Allah, and that he is the most deserving to be praised, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahmad. So he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the best amongst mankind in praising Allah, Ahmadun Nasi Lillah. And that he is Ahakkud Nasi an Yuhmad, most deserving of mankind to be praised. Both qualities are derived from this name, Ahmad. And our Shaykh Rahimahullah added one more reason. And he said, وَعِنْدِي and with me, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ and Allah knows best, that there is a third matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this word on the tongue of Isa alayhi salam for this third reason, which is that he made it a fitna, a trial, a test for the children of Israel, if they follow the mutashabih, if they follow that which is not entirely clear, and so they will come and say, the one whom Jesus informed us about, his name is Ahmad, and the one who came in Ummul Qura in Mecca, his name is Muhammad, so Ahmad is other than Muhammad, so bring us a prophet or a messenger whose name is Ahmad, so that we believe in. So in this, therefore, there is a trial and a test for them in following the mutashabih, in following the mutashabih, that which is not entirely clear. And indeed, they brought up this shubha, this doubt. They raised it. But we respond to them that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the same verse, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. But when he, Ahmad صلى الله عليه وسلم, came to them with clear proofs, they said, this is plain magic. You see that? Who then came to them? The question is, who came to them? The messenger whom Isa alayhi salam gave them in glad tidings, his news. So therefore, he came. So this indicates that Ahmad is not to be awaited for, as the Christians claim. But he came, and the one who came is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, Isa said, giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me. And it is known by the agreement of historians that there was no messenger that came after Isa, after Jesus, except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, the one who came is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, when he brought them the clear proofs, they said, هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ, this is plain magic. So it became clear that this title used by Isa alayhi salam, Ahmad, this title has two benefits. The first benefit, to make it clear to the children of Israel, أن هذا الرسول أحمد, that this messenger, أحمد الناس لله وأحق الناس أن يحمد, that from his name he is the most praising of mankind to Allah, and he is most deserving of praise, most deserving amongst mankind to be praised. This is from his name, Ahmad, and so therefore he is to be praised. And also there is the notion in that an indication for his merits, especially since he brought them the glad tidings, and the glad tidings is in matters that are pleasing, and the second matter is what it constitutes from being a trial to those Christians, whereby the name that came is different from the name who was mentioned by Isa alayhi salam min qabl. So therefore this became a doubt to them, and we came to know that this doubt is answered from two angles. The first, when he said min ba'di, after me, and there is no affirmed messenger after him, after Isa except Muhammad, therefore Muhammad is Ahmad alayhi salatu wasalam. The second angle, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, when he brought them the clear proofs, this indicates that he is not awaited for, قَدْ جَاءَهُمْ, that he came already, he is not to be awaited for, but they belied him. Is that clear? Is this great benefit which our Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, is this clear? No. So this is Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin, and then the author said wa ala ali Muhammad, wa ala ali Muhammad, ali Muhammad. The al refers to the followers. Al. Let's write it down, please. The Al, Al, Ali Muhammad, refers to the followers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, mentioned in Surah Ghafir concerning Ali Fir'aun, the followers of Fir'aun. Surah Ghafir, chapter 40, verse 46. النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. The fire, they are exposed to it morning and afternoon, and on the day when the hour will be established, it will be said to the angels, cause Fir'aun's people, his people, his followers, to enter the severest torment. So it refers to the first meaning we have mentioned now, the followers. Also, it refers to the relatives. Al also refers to the relatives. So it can be said, Alu Fulan, the relatives of such and such. With respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if it is mentioned Alu Muhammad, this means his relatives, but what? The believing relatives. With taking, excluding the al, the relatives who are kafirs. So therefore, when there is a conflict between the meaning denoting followers, and this is the general, and the meaning denoting the relatives, which is the particular, in cases of dua, when one is making the dua and there is conflict between the general and the particular, then the best is to take the wording of the general. The best is to take the wording of the general. That is because if you carry the meaning on the general, then the particular is part of the general, but not the opposite. You understand? Uh, the general is inclusive of the particular, but not the opposite. So if we say, Alu Muhammad is a common term between his relatives who believe in him and between his followers of the believers. Which of the two terms is more general and encompasses all? Which one? The Al of the relatives or the Al of the followers? Which is more general? The Al of the followers. The followers, because the followers are believers, and the believers will include what? Will include the believers of his relatives, right? Will include the believers of his relatives. So, when it comes to dua, one should make the general, because the particular is included in the general, but not the opposite. So therefore, with the statement of the author, we carry the meaning to mean what? The followers. Right? Okay. Then the author said, وَصَحْبِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ. He said, Ali Muhammad وَصَحْبِهِ and his companions. Now, aren't the companions followers? Aren't the companions followers? Yes. Right? So, the author, when he used the term وَصَحْبِهِ, this is from adding the particular to the general in the construct in conjugation. You understand? And who are the companions? Who are the companions? The companions is a plural of Sahabi, a companion. And the companion is everyone who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam believing in him and died upon that, irrespective of the timing of his meeting with him, whether it was prolonged or short, but with the condition that he believed in him and he died on that. Is that clear? This is the definition of a Sahabi. This is the definition of the Sahabi. Everyone who met the Prophet ﷺ and believed in him and died upon that, irrespective of the time period of his encounter with the Prophet ﷺ, prolonged or short, but he died on that. And the companions are the best of this ummah. And the companions are the best of this ummah. And they have ranks in terms of excellence. And in general, the Muhajirun, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, are better than the Ansar, those who gave help to the Prophet ﷺ in Medina. In general, also, those who accepted Islam before the Treaty of Hudaybiyah are better than those who accepted Islam afterwards. And with all of the companions, are described as being qualified with adala, uprightness. Uprightness. And that's why the people of knowledge mentioned that not knowing the companion, not knowing the companion in particular, is of no harm, because the Sahaba, all of them, are udul, are upright. So if the name of the companion is not known in the narration, it does not harm, because the Sahaba, all of them, are udul, are upright. Is that clear now? And then the author, rahimahullah, said, وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا. سَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا. This is another invocation, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save God, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his family, the believers of his family, his followers, the companions, all of them, from the worldly defects, and from those defects in the hereafter. And he said, the author, rahimahullah, to have abundant salam upon them. We stop here, inshallah ta'ala, before we continue the subject. This is the introduction of the author, rahimahullah. So therefore he said, in short, what we explained is the introduction of the author when he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi alladhi lam yazal aliman qadira. All praise is to Allah, who was, is, and continues to be all-knowing, all-able. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad, and may Allah's salah be upon our leader Muhammad, alladhi arsalahu ila al-nasi kafatan bashiran wa nadira, whom Allah had sent to all mankind as a warner and giver of glad tidings. وعلى آل محمد وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. And on the followers of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions, abundant salah and salam. This is the beginning or the introduction of the author, رحمه الله. Then after that he began talking about what had been written concerning the convention of nomenclature of hadith and the knowledge of hadith in terms of the narrators and the texts. And inshallah ta'ala we'll proceed to that by Allah's will next week. Walhamdulillah alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu as-salihat wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.